views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my role in this show is to share information that can inspire, uplift, and guide you towards making powerful, positive change in your life. My guest today is definitely all about those things. Her name is Mary Shores, and I must confess that I do have a nice formal little bio for her here in front of me that talks about the multi-million dollar business that she founded and the groundbreaking communication system that she created and that she's been on TV and all of that. But Mary has just released a book called Conscious Communications, a step-by-step guide to harnessing the power of your words to change your mind, your choices, and your life. This was just released back in August of this year. And I really felt drawn to share a quote from this book because I had the honor of reading the book over the summer and really enjoying it. And I think that this quote encapsulates why many of us would want to listen to what Mary has to say. So here's the quote. After a rough childhood, the devastating death of my first child, the creation of my own successful and unique collection agency, an unexpected and messy divorce, raising an autistic son, and the ups and downs of over 40 years of life, I discovered that I had gathered enough tools to write a book that would empower others to create the life they had always imagined despite facing various obstacles. So, number one, you're going to want to remember that book's name, Conscious Communications by Mary Shores. We're going to talk about that again, so don't worry, and I will provide you with a link. It's an excellent book, and I really think you would enjoy it. But I wanted to share that quote because I think it paints a picture of a real person who's overcome some really challenging situations and then used them to shape who she is and how she's making a mark on our world. So, without further ado, Mary, welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Moms community.
Debbie, thank you so much. What a wonderful way to open a show with a humbling but yet inspiring, hopeful quote from that book.
Well, there was a lot of those in the book, let me tell you. So when you and I talked a couple months ago, you shared a brief story about your daughter, Haley, and how this started you on a path of understanding how the brain works. I would love it if you could just share a brief little story with our audience about that and explain. I mean, to me, it explains who you are and what started you on this path of enlightenment. So please share that.
Sure. Well, when I was about 16 years old, my mother got remarried and she moved in with this new husband. And as bad as it sounds, I wasn't really part of the equation of this new family. So I had to go live out on my own at 16 years old, and I was still in high school. So I really didn't have any resources or anywhere to turn. And I ended up moving in with a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And I was able to get through school and everything was fine. But when I was 19, I became pregnant unexpectedly. And I actually had a pretty healthy pregnancy, and my daughter was born with a tragic accident. What had happened was her umbilical cord asphyxiated, and this means that it like blew up. It was like 10 times the size of a normal umbilical cord, and it left her depleted of oxygen from the brain for over 5 minutes. And so although she was full term and looked very healthy, they actually had to resuscitate her at birth, and she was left with severe brain damage. damage. And I go into detail about it in the book, but just know that, you know, I spent the next year and a half of my life living in children's hospitals, sleeping on the floor, administering some pretty scary medications, feeding my child out of a tube in her stomach. And she eventually passed away because she had just so many health problems. But there was a period of time that I was obsessed with the idea that her brain could heal. Her brain could find a way to overcome the brain damage. And so that was my first entry point in wanting to study the brain. And what I learned about all those years ago was really about stem cells. And the book isn't about stem cells. Don't worry about that. But it just it was sort of just my first thing I started learning about the brain.
Right. Right. And so it kind of started you on a journey of really wanting to understand the brain and how it operates and how we can use it effectively. Okay?
It's so true.
Yeah. So there is so much in your book that I think can truly make a difference in a person's life. And we obviously don't stand a chance of sharing it all here in our brief time together. So I just picked out a few things that really stood out for me. And I thought I'd get you to expand on them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it sounds like so much fun. Yeah, because, you know, I'll tell you what, I got a phone call about this book last week from this lady in New York. And she said, Mary, she goes, you have one of these books where you can just go on any random page, open it up and read something and it will be meaningful to you.
Yes.
So I feel like that's what we're about to do. I'm very excited.
Yes. Well, and mine is in a PDF form, so I had to print out questions ahead of time, quotes ahead of time, because I can't just flip open to a page. But I love doing that. And I think when people go out and buy their copy, that they should do that. Just put it down, pick it up, open the book, because there is value in every piece that you'll be drawn to. And yes, so absolutely. So let's dive into talking about the power of language, because you created a whole unique system to use at work that would help people feel better about themselves after they spoke to someone at your collection agency. Now, that's pretty impressive right there. The fact that you wanted people to feel better, we all have kind of our own ideas, little stereotypes about collection agencies and such. And so I loved that piece of it alone. But then when you later kind of realize that, you know, this same system applies to every area of my life, I loved how you tie that all in. And so in your book, you actually talked about how you used to say things like, everything's a struggle, I'm such a mess. And then I love how you say you further created this analogy to really draw a picture of what a mess you were and how that affected what came to you, what you attracted and such. So can you talk a little bit about this and maybe share a tip on how a simple change of language can really change a person's life in a positive direction?
Yeah, you know, I'd like to start by just explaining that the words we say about ourselves really can become our identity. And the reason for that is because it's about our stories. You know, in these words that we're saying, like, I'm such a mess, or I think I would say a lot that I felt like I was walking up a flight of stairs and someone was kicking them out from under me.
Right.
And that's literally what I woke up feeling like every day. And when you're in that level of despair, you know, there's not a lot of things that maybe you have control over to change. But when I started changing my words before too long, I could notice a difference in what I was manifesting in my life. And I was able to change my story. And so in the book, I've even got a three-step process of how to reframe your stories. Because the thing is that these words, they are a mirror to what's in your subconscious mind. And your subconscious mind is where your belief systems are coming from. It's where your thoughts are coming from. And your actions that you take and the choices you make are going to be based on what is in that subconscious mind. It's all like strung together as a feedback loop. But when you can get control of one part of it, of that feedback loop, then you will also begin to be able to get control of the other parts of the loop.
Mm-hmm. So just for fun, let's say a parent is really being annoyed by a habit that their young child has. And so they're going out and they're saying how difficult their life is, maybe venting to a friend. How is that affecting them, or how is it making a difference, or how can they change it?
Well, what it's doing is it's reinforcing the neural network that has that belief in the first place. So one of the examples that I use in the book is that I was always going around saying I wanted to write a book, but I'm not a writer. And every time I said the words, I'm not a writer, I was reinforcing the neural network in my subconscious mind that was the belief system that I'm not a writer. And so, you know, with parenting, and especially like my own experience with parenting, I am the parent of a 17-year-old autistic child. And my son is very difficult to live with. And so, you know, I need to always be moving forward in the direction of things that he can do instead of focusing on the things that he can't do and just, you know, try to fill in the gaps. But how do I describe a situation without using negative words? And the way that, you know, I just limit that. So it's like, okay, I can say that my son is difficult to live with, or I can say that there are some challenges, but I can also be equally focused on the things that he's very, very well adjusted to.
Right. You know, I really love what you just said. And when I was reading the book, I realized this as well, that, I mean, yes, it's very easy for us to focus on that negativity and to not be able to kind of get caught up in it, right? And it starts to sort of pull us down and make us focus even more on that. So I love the idea of tuning in and noticing. I like to tell people stuff like, careful not to should on yourself, because when we should on ourselves, we make our lives so much harder. And it is just a matter of changing a simple word, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So one of my favorite tools from your book is the cleanse and clog system and your 80-20 rule. And so I thought maybe you could let our listeners know a bit about what this is and how they might apply it.
Yeah, I love talking about cleanse or clog. And I'll tell you, Debbie, that, you know, if your listeners are anything like me, there's probably plenty of them that would like to write a book someday. And the way that I wrote my book was that I went to the Hay House Writers Workshop, and they have a contest. And everyone that goes to the Writers Workshop gets to turn in a proposal. And my proposal won first prize. And it's chapter 5, the chapter about cleanse or clog that I submitted as the sample chapter. So I mean, that's how powerful it is, because Hay House loved it. So the way that I talk about this is that, you know, we all understand the concept that what it means if I say the words to live up to your highest potential. So, and I think that by now we can all agree that there's you have unlimited number of potentials that could exist in your life, or you have an infinite amount of possibilities that could happen to you. But how do you turn something from a possibility to a probability? Because, you know, I have the potential of becoming a best-selling author, but I also have the potential of failing. Mm-hmm. And so what makes the difference is my actions and my choices. The more choices and actions that I do that line up to the ultimate goal of becoming a best-selling author, the more probable I am to make that goal happen. And I think that in terms of like personal development, systems can get very complicated. And I like to keep things very simple. So I came up with this cleanse or clog, which just goes like this. If I'm on a diet, I don't need to learn about keto or paleo or Atkins or any of these things. I just need to look at a piece of food and I need to ask myself the question, will this piece of food cleanse me or will it clog me? Mm-hmm. So if it's an apple, I know it's going to cleanse me. And as long as I'm making cleansing choices 80% of the time, then 20% of the time, I can still have a dessert or a glass of wine or whatever it is that I'm going to put in my clog category. And if you just do that, you will see major changes. But then I realized, like, everything you say or do in a relationship, every word that comes out of your mouth, every action you say, everything is either cleansing a relationship or clogging it. Meaning you're either creating greater connection or you're driving a disconnection. And that is true in every area of our life, in our career, in our finances, in our personal development, in our self-care routine. You know, and if you really just, you know, first of all, you can read the book. It tells you exactly how to do this. You can learn how to apply this simple cleanse or clog. And if you do this consistently and you keep your choices in that 80% connection or cleansed category, your life over a short period of time will have some big changes in it.
Absolutely. Oh, I love it. I have a relationship podcast that I did where I talked about, you know, you want to focus on more of the positive building kind of comments, and you want at least four of them for every one negative criticism, judgment, whatever. And it's not that you're going to stop doing those other things. It's just that you want to be aware of them so you can be doing more of the good. And so that's what your cleanse and clog kind of reminded me of. And it's just such a beautiful visual. Right? Because is it cleaning me or is it clogging me up? Because I don't need to be clogged.
Right.
Yeah. Love it. So on this show, we talk a lot about gratitude. And so it was no surprise to me that it would be a major topic in your book. But what did surprise me was the unique idea that you came up with. I mean, I love how you take action and you make things doable for you and for those around you. And so you came up with this unique idea for a Facebook group, which I'm going to allow you to expand on that a little bit further in a moment. But you also talk about how gratitude actually affects our brain. And that's a little bit deeper than I usually get with a lot of people that I'm talking with about it. So I'm wondering if you'd like to share a little bit about it, and not any kind of heavy detail, but just a little bit about how it does affect our brain, and then share about your group that you created.
Sure. Well, in every spiritual practice I've ever learned about, or every personal development system I've ever been involved in, it seemed to me like there was a running theme of gratitude. I mean, even in the movie of The Secret, they had the gratitude rock. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So there was something important about the idea of gratitude that I needed to explain, and or I needed to research about. And what I found was that the simple act of gratitude actually creates new neural pathways in the brain, to where you're priming the muscle of your brain to look for more things in your life to be grateful for. Mm-hmm. But the true magic is that if you start a gratitude practice, and I really mean that as a practice daily, a daily gratitude practice. And in my group, we do three things a day. You can do as many as you want or as few as you want. I don't think that those things matter. But what matters is the practice of gratitude. That what happens is, because now your brain is being programmed to look for things that are good in your life, what the consequence is that all of these unexpected opportunities start to show up for you. Mm-hmm. And I am convinced that the opportunities are already there. We just don't notice them. But when we prime this muscle of gratitude in our minds, that we become aware of so much opportunity around us. And then it's just a matter of, you know, learning to consistently take action. And again, you know, about 45 days in, you know, when I started this gratitude group, it's called Declaring Gratitude, by the way, if anyone wants to look for it on Facebook. It's a women's only group, and we share three gratitudes a day. I thought, oh, my life's going to change, you know, like I'm going to get onto this gratitude bandwagon and everything's going to change. And I thought it was going to happen at 30 days, and it didn't.
Right.
But at 45 days, it really started to shift. And little by little, it started to shift my life. But the three other women that were in my gratitude group, it started to shift their life too. And then within a few short months, maybe 6 months, I had the book deal with Hay House. And I just started somehow, some way, attracting more amazing things into my life.
Right. So, I mean, that is so cool, right? I mean, I've talked about this before, but I just really want to make sure the listeners understand that you start just by being grateful for whatever little things are around you. You don't have to make them up. You don't have to try to make huge things. It can be grateful for, I don't know, that a grasshopper, you know, flew past your mouth and not into it.
That's such a great example. I love that one. I mean, I say in the book, you know, there's times that one of my gratitude sisters might be like, no, I'm grateful to have a toothbrush today because, you know, I'm sure that there's somebody out there in the world that doesn't have a toothbrush. And I'm just right. grateful to have a toothbrush. And, yes. you know, maybe she's not having the best day. And I know that because she's my gratitude sister. But when you are having, and this is where the real magic comes in. When you are having a bad day, and we all have bad days, but you can still find something to be grateful for, even if it's your toothbrush, then you are doing your brain so many favors.
Yes. And now you increase your ability to see things to be grateful for. Nothing really changes there except for what you're noticing. And then you start attracting more of that kind of energy back. So suddenly your life is filled with things to be grateful for. So I love how it's like a whole package. And in your book, you even talk about genes expressing themselves in our body and such. And there's just, you know, rewriting old scripts in the brain and such. So, yeah, I love that topic. And I really think that that's a very important part of your book. But I have to be honest, after I finished every chapter, I kind of went, that's a really good one. Oh, that's a good one.
You know, when I did chapter five, because chapter five was the chapter that was written first.
Okay.
I just said to myself, if I can make every one of these chapters as good as this chapter, I'll have no problem.
Yeah, I'm golden.
And so I just want you to know how much it meant to me that you just said that after each chapter, you said that was a good one.
I did. I really enjoyed it. So I've pulled another quote from your book, and this particular quote it's so powerful and important, I think. And anyone who knows me and what I stand for will quickly grasp why I am so drawn to it. So it's a little bit lengthy, not too much, but a couple sentences anyway. So the quote is, as women, especially, we are regularly encouraged to chin up, stop complaining, put our big girl pants on, or settle for what we know deep down isn't right. Through this settling, we dim our light and accumulate more smudges and rubbish on the lens of how we see ourselves and our lives. The lens of misperception keeps us buried beneath layers of untruths, away from seeing things as they really are and as they could be. This quote just sums up exactly what I believe in life and what I try to help others to see as well. And so I would love, Mary, for you to expand on it a little bit more for our audience.
Okay. So in this part of the book, we're really talking about this ancient yogic principle that's called avidya. And avidya is talking about, it means quite literally the lens of perception. And so we have a tendency as humans to either see things better than they are or worse than they are. So where it talks about those smudged colored glasses, mm-hmm. that's when you're in a situation where you're seeing things as worse than they are. But vidya means true knowledge. And true knowledge is when you have a clear perspective or perception of what's happening in your life. You're not making it better. You're not making it worse. And when you make decisions from a place of true knowledge, you will make truer decisions. So nice. That's where that's leading you to. But I'm interested in what was your thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, the whole chapter, I'm reading all of that, that's what it put out for me, is the whole idea that we create a lot of the stress in our lives.
Yes.
We're good people, but we create a lot of the stress in our lives. We make things so much harder when we start to believe that another person knows more than we do, or that the answer that worked for them is the same answer that should work for us. Or, you know, there's just so much that smudges, not just how we see ourselves, but even our own resiliency, our own personal power and strength. And so it just really reminded me of how common it is for us to bury ourselves, and then we can't find who we really are, right? So, yeah.
I love hearing your perspective on it. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, no problem. So we're coming to the end of our time, and I really want to make sure that we have a couple minutes to discuss the Ignite Your Dreams workbook that you're giving away as a gift to the listeners. It's a really great book. I flipped through it the other day and I thought, wow, this is really wonderful. So I will have the link up for it on the blog that's attached to this podcast and also on the Transformation Talk Radio page. So I just want to give you a chance. If there's anything else that you'd like to say about it, this is your moment.
Well, Ignite Your Dreams, I think, is just a home run for your moms out there, because there is a big section on it about self-care and how to create a self-care routine. And I think moms especially, we can give, give, give and not take care of ourselves. But there's also a magic action plan in it, which people love. So what Ignite Your Dreams is, it's really just like a 5-day personal development challenge. You can get in there. It's free to all of you. You can print it out. It's beautifully illustrated by my team. I'm so proud of that workbook. And we've had thousands and thousands of people join our working on that workbook. And if you get it, you can also join our exclusive Facebook group, which is called Fearless Ambition. And then, you know, most of all, I want to say, if you like what you hear, or you like what you see in that Ignite Your Dreams, please go onto Amazon or to your local bookseller and grab my brand new Hay House book, Conscious Communications. It is doing so well. As of the date we're recording this, it's only been out a few days and it already has 5 5-star reviews.
Nice. So I'll have to go on there and write a review because I'm happy to do that when I really connect with a book like that. So Mary, thank you so much for coming on the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show and sharing your wisdom with us. I truly appreciate who you are, who you're becoming. And I'm thrilled that Hay House noticed that spark and decided to publish your book and that that book came across my path because I totally believe things aren't an accident. And I love that we were connected in that way. So we just have a couple minutes left, but I always like to give you a moment in case there's a final thought that you want to share with the audience. So
If there's anybody else out there that wants to publish around the way I did, on October 21st and 22nd, there will be another Hay House Writers Workshop in Orlando. If you are interested in joining me in Orlando, Florida, and having your opportunity to turn in a proposal and publish with Hay House, please email me, mary@maryshores.com, and I will get you ticketing information. I know it's short because it's only a couple weeks from now, but if publishing is in your heart, just check this out.
Okay. And what were the dates again?
October 21st and 22nd in Orlando, Florida.
So I just want to end with one last little quote that I thought was important for people to hear as well. It says, "I learned that if you want to change your life, whether big changes or smaller ones, you just have to remember these two things. All it takes to begin or continue your journey is to take a step in the direction of what you want. And number two, every time you make a new choice, you are opening up an infinite number of new opportunities in your life." So please hold on to that. Thank you once again, Mary. Thank you so much to our listeners. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Mary Shores, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. Recognize that the power is in the moment and put your efforts into making things happen today. That might mean taking a day off, starting a new project, changing jobs, moving out, or coming out. There's no prescription for what you need to do, except to make it so. Not tomorrow, not next week, not after the grass is cut. Now.